Get your Bibles open. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is looking shabby this year. I mean, the harvest, a couple things survived the drought, but he said, truly, the harvest is what? Well, whose harvest is he talking about? He's talking about his harvest. So I say, God's harvest is great. There's nowhere in the Bible where God had a harvest that wasn't great, that wasn't good. Why? Because God's a sower. He's a giver. Amen. And he believes in the laws of prosperity and all those things. And everything he does, it comes back to him right. He always has a good day. So God's harvest is great. Anybody ever seen anybody flow in abundance? I mean, just like they got like the gold finger. Everything they touch just seems to work out just right. Everybody say the Midas touch. And with that Midas touch, just think that everything they put their hand on, I mean, man, it just blossoms. Well, I tell you what, God has got the Midas touch. I mean, he's got a touch that when he gets a hold of it, everything turns out good. And he's got a harvest with a Midas touch on it. God's got a return. How many would you love to be in covenant? How many believe in supernatural covenants? That means that you're a part of something and whatever happens to them is going to happen to you. Well, listen, you can be married and marriage is a covenant, right? Now, if you were married to the guy in a box on the street corner, you know, you get whatever that man's got. You might even get yourself another box and be under the street. But if you were married to Bill Gates, right, things would look a whole lot better for you, wouldn't it? Why? Because you got a little piece of what he's got because you're in covenant with him. Now, I tell you what. Now, how many would love to get just some of the interest on Bill Gates' money? Just 1 month's interest check. Well, why? Because he's getting a big return on what he has stored up, correct? Well, listen, God's got a great harvest out there, and you're in covenant with him. He's got returns. The harvest truly is great. Everybody get vision of God's great harvest. God's not concerned about some of the things that we need down here. He's not interested in our gold. He's not interested in our silver. He doesn't need it there. It's just pavement. He doesn't want your concrete. All that stuff. But he is interested in, he has invested in souls. He has invested in souls. That's what he's believing for. That's what his faith is for. We had different things when we learned to pray for one another. He said, now listen, if you were going to pray for God, what would you pray for? He has everything. I mean, if you were going to pray for God this morning, you're going to say, oh, Father God, I just pray for you. You need some help this morning. How would you pray for God? Well, you know how you pray for God? He's got a bunch of sheep that are lost. That he needs some help to find their way home. Amen. His heart yearns every day for people that don't think about him. There is a little bit of a problem. He calls out, he said, Jerusalem, how I long to take you in my arms, but you wouldn't let me. So he has desire for some things that just aren't being met. So we can get in agreement with God and see his desires come to pass. Amen. Guess what? His harvest is his desire. How many believe in God for a big thing? Some people don't know you can believe God for something. You want it more than anything. Well, I tell you what, God has got faith going this morning. God is motivated, amen. God is exercising his faith in the same laws, in the same principles, in the same way that you're to exercise faith. But he's using all of his faith toward you. The Bible says Jesus is ever interceding. That means he's got a prayer. That means he wants to get something done. He's not just talking, amen. He's there trying to get some things accomplished. He's busy about the work. God is concerned about souls. He's concerned about the great harvest. He sowed into harvest. He wants to reap a bunch. He wants to reap a bunch of life. He wants to reap a bunch of souls. So he sold a soul. He sowed a soul. He sowed the soul of Jesus. Wow. Sent Jesus to earth and planted him here, that where he was planted, many would come back. Then I tell you what, that's an offering. Why is the harvest so great? Because the seed was so great. He's waiting for the return of Jesus. The return to the seed that he sowed in Jesus Christ. What is evangelism all about? It's all about God getting what he put his faith for, amen, and what he sowed into, getting it back. I tell you what, God believes that there's going to be a great harvest. He's not worrying about how many seats are here this morning, amen? Because he knows that when people get involved with him, he said, listen, there is seed out there. You got to have, when you're worrying about, if you're thinking about, well, we can't get people saved and the people will never come in the way it wants to, I tell you what comes back is exactly what went out. He planted Jesus. He's not going to get some little half-breeds all over the place that he's expecting to get back. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow peas, you're going to reap peas. What is he waiting for? He's waiting to get back the same essence and the same seed that he sowed. He sowed Jesus full of the Holy Ghost, amen, and full of power, full of signs and wonders, directed toward God with his heart. His emotions were right, and his spirit was right. That's what he expects to get back. We're going to learn that this morning. Just not any old seed will do. He's looking for disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, imitators of Jesus Christ, carbon copies. If it doesn't look like the seed he sowed, it's going back. Do you know what you are? You're just a part of a seed sown. He gave you a new life, a new heart. What was that new life, a new heart? It was Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. A supernatural thing, heart. A supernatural thing happened to you. Behold, all things are made new. If any man be in Christ, behold, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. I don't care what kind of seed. If you might have been a carrot when the thing started. But God did something supernatural to you. He changed even the essence of your seed. You're a new creature. Somebody said, the harvest truly is great. Why? Because the seed was great. Why should churches be great? Why? The seed was great. Churches don't need to be dead. He didn't throw Jesus down to earth dead. Whatever was in the seed is what the harvest should be, or the fruit should be. Someone said, there's a seed of miracles in my essence. There's a seed of power within me. And if we let God have his free course, guess what? We'll start to see the works of Jesus in the local church in the last day. Why? It's already seeded within us. Talking about revival here. We're talking about Holy Ghost evangelism, not just statistics. We're basing this thing not on what people want. We're looking to the seed. We're going to do this thing by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and you can have revival by faith, by knowing the Word of God, and say, I expect a great return because there was a great seed. You better go find the seed of Jesus and preach to it. There it said Abraham's seed. Water the seed. That's why he said, go preach the word. We're out doing everything. Balloons are nice. It gets the attention. Thank God for it. Amen. But it's just going to get the eyesight. As soon as they get there, we're going to hit it with some water. Amen. What are we to do? We're to find the seed. It's out there. That's what we're waiting here for. The seed is already in the earth. He said, you can't see it. We're going to find that out in Scripture, that in the book of Revelation, they're going to have their eyes supernaturally open, that they would be able to see the seed of Christ. There are some people out there that are destined to be with, but I'm going to tell you what, God's got some people out there that he's got a hit on. Amen. He said, that one's mine. Amen. They might be in a drug house someplace. They might be hooking on the street corner. They might be addicted. They might be an alcoholic. They might be a bank executive. They don't even know it yet. They're going their own way, but God said, that one's mine. I claim it in the name of Jesus. There's a seed in there someplace. And all we need to do is get some people full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word of God to get out there and start to water some seed and watch what comes back. The harvest is truly plentiful. Why? Seed. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Thank God Jesus came. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. You don't understand it. You don't get saved in your head. You get saved in your heart. He's not trying to convince your mind. He's going to change your mind. See, people think if we can get you to understand it in your head, you'd be saved. Well, understand in your head. You're going to get this new mindset. He's going to change that mindset. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers, somebody say laborers. Laborers are what? Few. That means there are more of us out there than what's in here. That means that there's more nations church in the harvest than in the house. The harvest was literally his seed. So who is he going to have work his seed? What's already there? Anybody remember the 70s? Everybody was going off to do things, trying to find themselves. I'm looking for me. I just got to go find myself. Why do you got that long hair? I'm trying to find myself. Brother, why do you have that dress on? I'm trying to find myself. That's not your husband. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to find myself. Well, that's what it should be with the church. Evangelism is nothing but you trying to find yourself. Somebody say, I'm out there someplace. When Nations Church started, Brother Jesse came to me, he said, listen, for the first time I could find somebody that had the same crazy mindset as me. Amen. Brother, we're hooked. And we linked up. Somebody say, glory to God. There are some people out there that have the same heart and have the same spirit of you, and all you got to do is just get out there and preach the word, and the word will show you you. Amen. You're not out there. There are a whole bunch of people that think the way that you think, that have that same supernatural thing on the inside of them. There are some things about the Holy Spirit that, you just can't explain. Something about the Holy Ghost. I can't explain, but I got it. Amen. Somebody else out there has got it. Amen. And they're looking for somebody else that has it. So that they don't feel crazy because they got it. Amen. They just don't know. There are a bunch of people sitting around right now. There are a bunch of people around in graveyards and cemeteries this morning saying, why am I here? There are a bunch of people looking at TV this morning. Why am I looking at TV this morning trying to find themselves? The harvest is truly plentiful. Nation's church is big. They're all around the place. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. I told them, we were playing Mardi Gras yesterday. And I tell you what, I looked over at Jesse, and they said, we got to keep it real calm. We don't want to get these people stirred up. And I said, they were trying to party down there. I said, Lord, we should have packed up the church. That's right, man. We would have turned that thing out. we needed mama down there. Glory to God. They got to find out that you can celebrate Jesus. Yeah. And I don't need a bunch of beer. Amen. I can remember my steps after I finish them. I tell you what, they were looking to get drunk. We said, well, where are all the people that we pulled out of the Galveston at about 9 o'clock at night? And it was packed traffic trying to get in. Car after car coming in by the thousands to sit out in the street and go crazy. And I ain't seen nobody party like you people down there. I said, Lord, have mercy, we need a bigger sound system. And we need to get down here and turn the Holy Ghost loose on them. And somebody say, amen. Amen. The harvest truly is plentiful. But true laborers are few. So don't you get discouraged. And don't you get downcast. Think that we can't find anybody anywhere. We're trying. We can't do it. I want you to know, listen, when you say that the seed that Jesus planted wasn't great enough. You better put your faith and your dependency on what God planted and what God said and step out on it. And stop looking at people. Stop looking at things. You build your faith and your confidence on Jesus Christ, because you'll get intimidated when you see different people that are not like you or act different than you do. You'll get intimidated. You can't look to that. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Say, he's no greater than the seed Jesus planted, so I can handle. I don't care if he's driving a Mercedes-Benz. Glory to God. The seed of Jesus Christ is greater. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. God can afford anybody. What Jesus did, his blood can wash away anybody's sin. He can buy out anybody. Listen, the harvest is great. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. Somebody say pray. 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 Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth what? That he would save them? No, he already did. He already sent Jesus. He already sent Jesus. We got so many people trying to pray that people get saved. You're praying amiss and wonder why it don't get answered. You need to pray. When you need somebody to get saved, pray for a laborer. Pray for a laborer. Somebody, you need a worker. Amen. He's already heard that prayer. Maybe you've been praying for your loved ones and you're still waiting for them to get saved. Well, you better put your faith on somebody else and send a laborer across their path. Send them a Kathy, a Rita, or a Jesse Dalton. Somebody say, Lord, speak to a laborer, someone that you can control. Amen. Someone that you can lead, because he can't control or lead those that don't want to be led, that aren't his. He can't brainwash them, but he can find a Holy Ghost-filled saint. Somebody say, glory to God. And say, I can control that one. And if I put three of the ones I can control, one in front of them, one on back of them, one on the side of them, they got to go the way I want them to go. Somebody say, send a laborer. Amen. Thank God for Holy Ghost-filled laborers. Amen. I had a laborer that worked on me, I wouldn't be saved today or filled with the Holy Ghost today. I was gripping a family. And we at one time were did very, very, very well. Anybody ever done very well? Anybody ever not done so well? When you do very well and not so well, those two happen real quick, things happen, you know? And anybody ever had a brook dry up? Well, we had a brook dry up or something happened. It caused calamity to happen in our family. And it got to the point, you know, I grew up in a single parent family. It just got too much for my mom to handle. And she didn't know the things that we know. She didn't know you could stand in faith. She didn't know that you had the Holy Ghost that was on your side. Amen. That you could win. That God didn't want you to be broke. We were into a church where they told us the poorer you were, the better off you were. Amen. You're just closer to Jesus. You're just like Jesus, poor. Well, we went through some calamity and we went through some situation, and it got so horrible that my mom got to the point to where she said, I just can't take it anymore. Anybody ever been there? And she decided to take her life. Yeah, she decided to take her life. And my mom attempted suicide. Yes, with everything. She wanted to give up on everything because she didn't know Jesus. She didn't know you. My goodness. Do you know that you are, at times, I'm sure that there are some of you today that have helped people stay alive that didn't want to live again. Some of y'all didn't want to live again, amen, but somebody stood up and stepped up and, you know, with just a smile on their face, amen, kept a pill out of their mouth. A good word kept a bullet out of somebody's head. You don't know. Well, she attempted suicide. Didn't work. Thank God. Well, we couldn't go back to the Methodist church after that because we were the main family. My, what do we do now? You done trashed everything. We can't go back to the Methodist church. Somebody didn't pray, Lord, save Dolores Counselor and her kids. They didn't pray that way. You know, no angel came down and when she was in the hospital room all by herself and just jumped on her and said, be saved. That's not how it happened. Somewhere, somebody prayed. Amen. And you know what God sent? He didn't send Michael the archangel. He didn't send Elijah back from the dead. He didn't send great and mighty angels. You know what he sent? A laborer that we never knew about. A lady, we had just moved into a new community. And there was a lady lived around the street. She said, I want you to go to church every morning. Y'all would get up and faithfully go to church. And I wanted to invite you to my church. And I'm just going to come and see you. My mom was in the hospital for approximately a month. Do you know that laborer, without knowing any of us, went to that hospital every day? Showed up every day. Well, it got to the point where we had to go to church. So I decided to go to church with her. And then instead of she taking me to the Methodist church with the pipe organ, she told me one of them churches where them people were getting down. And I grew up in suburbia. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. It's one of those churches where the preacher preaches and the organ goes, woo! And I like that. I tell you what, the first 6 weeks I went to church, I didn't go to church because of God. I went to church to laugh at those people. You hear what I'm saying? And I would go back and look at those people and go back to my school and tell them, you would not believe what these people did. No lie, man. They're zapping out. You got to go, dude. It's crazy. And I just went for 6 weeks just to look at people and laugh. You know what? I tell people around here. I tell people, come on to Nation's Church. If anything, you'll get a good laugh. It's all right. If you don't get your soul saved, at least you'll get a good laugh. But you know what? That laborer faithfully served. That laborer faithfully served, faithfully visited, took me to church every... See, my mom didn't drive. That lady took me to church every Friday night. Every Sunday we went to church at 9 o'clock. We left at 8:30 in the morning. We got back about 1 in the morning for like 8 to 9 years. For 8 to 9 years. Got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because of a laborer. That lady, I never once saw that lady get up on the pulpit and preach. She never once got up on the pulpit and preached. I don't know whether she ever gave a check for $2 million or a bunch of money. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know whether she ever did that. You know, I never saw that lady do any great meals or anything. You know what that lady did? That lady, faithfully, you know what her life was? She visited my mom in the hospital every day and took this 9-year-old little boy to church. Faithfully. Called every Sunday morning. You ready to go to church? We're going to church. Faithfully. Look at what God did, because God had a laborer. Here we are, sowing the word to you. Do you know who's preaching this morning? That lady that went to the hospital. Amen. And drove that car. Amen. That lady faithfully got me to the church. You know, my mom saved today, filled with the Holy Ghost, living, sowed generously into a church. That church that she sowed, she got into another church, sowed generously. Amen. On the usher's board, raised all kind of money. Y'all met my mom. Amen. You see what the Lord did there? There's a church in the in Columbia, Maryland right now, about 2,000 strong. I tell you what, when we got there, that church was about this size, and my mom worked like a dog. Why? Because there was a what? Because there was a laborer. Look at the children's church this morning. They don't even come. I mean, we had a hard time getting somebody to miss half of the service. They come in and go directly to children's church the entire time. Why? Pray for what?
Laborers.
And we don't think that's important for those little kids to hear the word of God and to hear Jesus. That's lives changed right now because somebody surrendered themselves and somebody's laboring. There could be an evangelist in there. There could be a mighty prophet in there. There could be a doctor in there with a cure for somebody's disease that has Jesus. But thank God for a laborer. Hallelujah. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I thank God that that laborer went into his harvest. Anybody ever grown corn in a crock pot? Anybody ever grown corn in the crock pot? All right, how many, if I go to your house right now, you got a big tomato pan and a frying pan. A big tomato plant growing in your frying pan on your stove. Anybody? We wonder why churches don't grow and people get saved, because he sent them into his harvest. Why aren't we getting anything? You know, we can't grow any souls here. We're already saved. You need some dirt. You need to get in there into the dirt. You need to get dirty a little bit to get some souls saved. But he sent her into his harvest field. She didn't wait for us. Amen. She would have been late if she waited for us to go to D.C. to go to church. That was a half hour away. We lived a half hour from Washington, D.C. She didn't wait for us to go to D.C. We would have never got there. Amen. But she heard the voice of God. Amen. And all she had to do was just cross the street to his harvest field. Don't just wait for everybody to show up in the church. Why aren't we growing? We're waiting to grow corn in a frying pan. Why is it just us four and no more? Amen. We're sitting up here in a pot trying to go, you know. I want y'all to practice that. Everybody do this week. Promise we're going to do some homework this week. I want you to get yourself a pan and throw some seeds in it and see how long it takes for it to grow. And you can even, don't put any dirt in it, but you can even water it if you want to. And see how long it takes you to grow. You got to plant those seeds. Amen. You got to get out there where the people are. And every once in a while you got to get dirty. Okay, but they went into his harvest field. Pray the Lord that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know what? We are not of the world, but we are in the world. Amen. And we all look at the earth, and we all look at this cosmos, and we all look at this system and all these things. The devil's trying to claim it all belongs to the devil. Not anymore. He was the god of this world, and he's no longer, because of Jesus. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And you need to look at this whole planet. God's not looking to steal people or anything like that. He created it for him. He created this whole thing that he might grow some souls, that he might grow some worshipers. Amen. And that's what he created it all for. He created Adam and Eve that they might bring forth praises unto God. Did you know that? That's what this whole thing is. It's there, amen, that he might grow some worshipers. And everybody else is doing all other things, you know, trying to build their own kingdoms. Amen. That's weeds. Amen. Everything you see out here, all these beautiful flowers, all these beautiful trees, all the herbs, vegetation that you see, that God provided those things that those that would follow after him, that we would be able to live prosperously and live well and reproduce, there might be worshipers. That's how God looks at the earth. That's my harvest field. Harvest. He said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. And then he says, go your ways. I believe that's the thing with some saints. And I believe this is what the Holy Ghost is going to do to us. Behold, I send you forth. He said, go your ways. But he said, then I send you forth. Go forth your way, but I'm sending you forth. Everybody, you know, we're all led by the Spirit of God. There's some devices in a man's heart. We all know that stuff. Amen. But all of you got some directions in your life that you're going and ways that you're heading. Ways that you're traveling. You all got things you got to do on a daily basis. You're doing computers. You're doing cars. You're doing massage. This one, everybody's doing their stuff. And you're going your way. But you got to understand, as you go your way, God's sending you forth. As you go your way, God is sending you forth. God, I pray that God sends you forth, that he sets you up in the grocery store. You're going your way to the grocery store. God sending you forth as you go your way. Realize that as you travel to the mall, as you go to get your feet pedicure, amen, or whatever it is, you might think you're going your way, but I want you to know God is sending you forth. As you go your way, you got to realize that you're actually being sent forth. You might have a contract. You have to go visit for a project or anything. You know, when you're of God, it's all God's. When you're living according to the Word of God, if you're typing on a typewriter, do you know what you're doing, the will of God? You are being sent forth. Realize that as you're going your way, that you are sent forth. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You got some wolves that you're going to have to deal with on a daily basis. Lambs. Lambs among wolves. Get out there. God's not afraid of the wolves. He's not afraid of the wolves. He knows he can handle it, and so can you. One thing I do want to remind you about that, he sent you forth as lambs among wolves. Not lambs to the wolves. You're sent among wolves, but not to the wolves. You're not being sent out there. It's not like he got some lambs and said, okay, I'm sending you out there to the wolves then. Go on out there. Go on out there and get torn up. No. You can be around him, amen, but you're not going to him. It means you don't have to be intimidated by him and running from him. There's some people that would love to string you up. There's some wolves out there. The Bible says it, but don't you worry about it. You're going to have to be among them, but you're not going to them. They can bark all they want to. They can scratch, but they better not put their hand on you. Wasn't that good this morning? Did y'all enjoy that? Did we learn anything?